Thanks for listening to this Control Risks podcast. This is Casper Layton. I'm joined by our senior Europe analyst, David Lee, and by Dr. James Nixon, who is chief European economist at our partners, Oxford Economics. David, to you first. The Greek economic crisis has now entered an intensely political phase, hasn't it?
Absolutely. And there were reports coming out of Germany that the German government and people within the German political system were expressing surprise that Syriza had been quite so bold in its first couple of days. I'm not really sure why they're expressing such surprise. Syriza said repeatedly, they said over and over again that they were going to move towards restoring the minimum wage to the level it was before the Troika got involved, restore the jobs to a lot of people who were dismissed in Troika-related redundancies. Yet these are the things they've announced. They were going to abandon privatisations, which weren't going to get very good value anyway. So they'd announced that, you know, long ago, and they'd said several times in the campaign that they were going to do it, and it's not really surprising that they have.
So, all that said, there's a lot of economics happening as well, James, isn't there?
I mean, absolutely. I mean, the strangest thing in some respects is that actually Greece looked as if it was on the road to recovery. The economy had bottomed out last year. In the third quarter last year, Greece was actually the fastest growing European economy. And in terms of the last round of negotiations with the Troika, actually we were only, you know, sort of arguing over the small change and about 2 billion short. So it's there's a sense there's a lot to lose in the sense that the economy is, you know, beginning to show fruit. I mean, nobody's denying that Greece has been through some tremendous knuckle crunching austerity, but it is now, but you know, it looked like the hard work had been done and we were on the upside. And of course, you've now got a complete change of government that are bringing in, you know, really a, you know, almost a complete volte-face, a sort of a complete change in direction of policies that really are an anathema to everything the Troika and the Europeans and the IMF have achieved over the last 5 years. And that's, you know, how that resolves itself is going to be critical over the next couple of months.
I think there's quite a lot in that, yeah. Obviously, the economic data that you mentioned a moment ago has very much improved in Greece in the last couple of months, couple of quarters. But there's very much the sense that it hasn't quite gone quick enough. And it certainly hasn't gone quick enough in areas like jobs and real wages, that kind of thing. So they were the main contributors to Syriza's election victory. They were able to say that the Troika austerity may be working on a macro level, but it certainly isn't on the micro level. And yeah, that's one of the reasons why they were so popular.
I mean, I wouldn't disagree. I mean, you know, nobody is suggesting, you know, as I say, the adjustment in Greece has been incredibly painful. And the reality is that even now, with unemployment at over a quarter of the workforce, it's going to take a generation to rebuild the economy and find jobs for all those people.
Absolutely.
I mean, in many ways, the interesting thing about the economics when it comes to the sort of, I mean, you know, Syriza's sort of stated objective is essentially to find some way of reducing the need to run large primary surpluses so that they can use the money they spend to build more of a social safety net.
Yeah.
And that's going to be, I think, the stumbling block with the Europeans, because the reality is that, you know, a good 65% of the Greek debt stock is owed to the Europeans that is in any case pretty much deferred until 2023.
Yeah.
So even if you were to wipe all of that debt out immediately, you wouldn't actually reduce the sort of the current financing needs that Greece actually faces, apart from the sort of ongoing redemptions. So finding some spare cash to finance the Syriza program is really going to be the challenge.
Yeah, that's very much the case. The, you know, the characteristics of the debt stock are, you know, it's not a huge private sector stock anymore. It's mostly the official sector, and that's where, you know, Syriza are, you know, trying to make progress with the Troika. They're trying not to make progress with the Troika, trying to say, we don't recognise the Troika. The Troika is an illegitimate institution. And we'll negotiate bilaterally. We'll negotiate with the EU. We'll even negotiate with the IMF. But this committee that is constituted by representatives of the three, we don't want to talk to them. And that's obviously quite a confrontational standpoint for, as you said, fairly remote and marginal gain at times.
Yes, I mean, I think the reality is that really we're looking at probably a good 5 months of just increased uncertainty while the two sides, you know, throw brickbats and harsh language at each other. Greece probably has, in terms of the cash that the government has available, enough money to tide it over through the first quarter. Which means they should be able to meet their sort of ongoing international commitments in February and March. And then the crisis in some respects for Greece will come in July and August, when they're due to have about 6 billion of bonds that are actually held by the ECB. Mm. And that will be the crunch point. And of course, from the European point of view, if Greece reneges on that and, you know, somehow defaults on the money that they owe the ECB, then the ECB immediately will cease to recognise the collateral that the Greek banks have put up in the refinancing operations. And that will effectively be, you know, the beginning of an exit from the euro area. Mm. So from the interesting thing from a political point of view, I guess, is that the Greek negotiating position to a certain extent is, you know, it's not particularly time consistent, because the closer they come to that sort of precipice, the weaker their bargaining position gets.
Absolutely. And that's why we've always been saying here that we don't think an instant collapse in the relations between the EU and Greece is likely after the elections. We said in the election campaign going in that a period of 4 or 5 months of uncertainty, just as you mentioned a moment ago, was the likely outcome, and it really looks as if that's what we're getting.
Absolutely. So there's a sense that, you know, the comments, the political grandstanding almost that the two sides are making, both of them taking very entrenched positions, really jostling for position.
Mm. Well, it's too early for either of them to compromise just yet.
Yeah. So I think it will be, you know, as I say, from a financial market point of view, you know, really, we're not going to have any clarity on the direction of things are heading for the next 5 months. And I think, as you've commented earlier, you know, the reality is that's going to be 5 months, you know, 23 days, and, you know, right up to the last minute before one side is forced to actually, you know, find some kind of compromise.
Yes, well, I'm sure I'll be up that evening watching it all happening, and so will you.
Absolutely. Again.
Dr. James Nixon of Oxford Economics, David Lee of Control Risks, thanks very much.